You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina All-American Bryant Packard, and we're talking Pirate baseball in The Sports Objective.
You are listening to Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on The Sports Objective. Join us every Sunday night on Facebook Live and our YouTube channel as we talk East Carolina baseball. As we look back at the previous week and take a look at what's ahead. Now, let's talk Pirate baseball.
Welcome in to Extra Innings right here on The Sports Objective. Great to be here this Sunday early evening. I'm Dave Richmond, but hey, Kyle Barber, what's up, dude?
What's going on, Dave? As we sit here as regular season conference champions in baseball yet again. I don't know about you guys, but Friday night, that Cincinnati-Houston game, I was like, oh, my God, are you serious? What a comeback by the Cougars. Cincinnati, yes. Two outs, four-run lead, and blow the lead, then lose it in extra innings, you know, and you think, oh, no, here we go. But then Pirates come out and take care of business on Saturday. Bubba, were you on the edge of your seat Friday night when all that crap was happening? And then kind of after it happened, you were first mad, then you went, oh, well, we do it ourselves.
Sure, I was disappointed, but I really felt good because we were in control of our destiny. You know, if it had been the other way around, and we were needing them to lose a game, which we fortunately were not. Man, that would have been gut wrenching had Houston won on Friday night. Fortunately, the Bearcats were able to win that one, 12-7. And it got interesting in the end, even though the final score doesn't really reflect it. But then you had Houston. They found a way to battle back from five down in the ninth to win that one, and then they won a one-run game yesterday. But fortunately, we came out, took care of our business 7-1. And you know, prior to that 7-1 victory in game three on Saturday, we'd been the comeback kids this week, hadn't been able to close it out against Campbell. But we rallied from a four-run deficit and then a six-run deficit against the Camels before losing 14-13. And then you had – and that was obviously the longest nine-inning game of the season for the Pirates. 4 hours and 18 minutes, just ridiculous. And so many twists and turns and instant classic, unfortunately, just went the wrong way. But then we battled back from an early 3-0 deficit and win 8-3, scoring those eight unanswered in Thursday night's game, and then we win a thriller 6-5 in game two.
Yeah, what a difference! I don't want to harp on that Campbell game too much, but what a difference just one run could have made. If we could have won that game, it would have helped our RPI so much that right now you would feel confident as long as we won the conference tournament or even just made the championship game that we'd host. And now I think it's even if we win the conference tournament, it's still going to be iffy if we're going to host. But it certainly is our best chance to do so.
Yeah, I think that you're right, Kyle. I felt like that was like an elimination game for hosting. And, you know, but you never know. I mean, I feel like a lot of baseball still to be played. We got to take care of all we can do is all we can do, as you always hear. And so we have to win the conference and then hopefully – some other teams that are ahead of us will falter, and we'll see. Another thing, I wanted to ask you guys this too. How much of a factor is the reputation we have of hosting? I'm talking about if we get the job done and we're on the bubble with some other teams.
Yeah, I think it helps, Dave. I think if you are a proven commodity, you know, I guess it could go against you some way. Somebody goes, well, hell, they've hosted the last however many years in a row. You know, XYZ hasn't hosted in so long. Let's give it to them if it's between us and somebody else. But I think reputation definitely helps. Don't you, Bubba?
Definitely. I mean, you know, putting yourself in the conversation year after year, you know, being one of two teams nationally along with Stanford to host all those regionals in a row and I guess five consecutive. And then – you obviously, well, you also have, or you were trying to host a fifth consecutive. And then obviously the super regional run that we're currently on, having played in three straight in 19, 21, and 22. And that's something that I know Aaron Fitt, he was on Pirate Radio last week, and he was talking about how he really didn't see us having a chance to host. And I responded, well, what if we do this? He said, well, I think if that happens, and that scenario was, that included a win over Campbell. But I said, what if you run the table, or, you know, all but one game? He said, well, in that case, then I could see it. So, and then I saw something, this may not have necessarily been Aaron Fitt, it may have been of another writer from D1 Baseball, but he was saying that, or maybe them collectively, that if we go out and run through the conference tournament, that they don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for a number 8 seed now, because –
Oh, wow.
And, you know, so
RPI would be too low for that, Bubba?
I certainly think that, I mean, you look at it last year, I'm trying to remember what our RPI was. I know.
I might look 12.
We finished the season at 18, but yeah, I think it was up there in the 12 or 13 range. Johnny Robertson, help us out.
Please, JR.
but. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Bubba.
The whole thing with that is the University of Virginia, they've had an excellent year, mm-hmm. but if they stub their toe and go 2-Q in the ACC tournament, then it's definitely not impossible.
Any chance if Campbell hosts in Fayetteville, being they can't host on campus, let's say they win the conference tournament and they decide to give it to Campbell. And we played them three times, but man, you talk about a win-win situation. If you put East Carolina as the 2 seed in Fayetteville, I mean, it would all be but us hosting. We would sell just as many tickets as Campbell. We would sell more.
Yeah, you look at the, and also,
but I don't think they would do that. Do right. you? Yeah.
I would tend to agree, Kyle. First of all, I don't think with Campbell dropping 2 out of 3 down at USC Upstate.
I heard them.
Now, if they go through the Big South tournament.
But they still won the conference, right?
Yes.
They did. And they're not – I don't know that they're necessarily out of it, but if they run through the Big South tournament and the right things happen, I think they're – to get back into that hosting discussion, I think – the stars are going to have to align, much like the stars would have to really align for us to get back into that top 8 picture, I was surprised with that top 8 talk last year when we got the top 8. You know, a lot of folks were surprised. I know even members of the team, it wasn't necessarily that they thought they had a body of work that wasn't deserving, but just based on the past when we had an RPI of 5 and didn't get it. I think, you know, obviously winning 20 in a row is not something that's done very often, and that carried a lot of weight in addition to winning both the regular season and tournament titles.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening. I'm still sketchy on if we can host. But
I think if we run through the tournament, I'd be surprised if we didn't host, honestly.
Do you think it matters if we lose a game in the tournament? If we win the conference tournament, do you think it really matters if we lose a game?
Because it just
RPI.
Honestly, I think that's something that would just depend on the specific committee in an individual year. Who knows what they would value, and it depends on what else happens around us. And we'll talk some more about that later on, as far as who's in the host, like who's a guaranteed host, you know, the likes of LSU or Arkansas, Florida, ones like that that are definitely locked up, and then who are still, you know, vying for those hosting spots.
Guys, how many, I wanted to ask you guys before I forget, how many North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia teams do you think will host? Because it looked like, obviously, Wake's a no-brainer. You look like probably Coastal, South Carolina, but how many do you think
South Carolina's been going the wrong way? Are they still going to host?
Yeah. Let me look at it again.
Clemson.
Yeah, South Carolina's got is RPI is 6 right now.
Okay.
So that's why, yeah, we want to double check on that. Yeah, Coastal's 13.
North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, 7. I'll go 5. I'll go five.
Because you have right now,
I'll go five or six.
Guys, you have South Carolina RPI at six. Clemson has really turned it on. Back at Six Novel, Pirates doing a great job down there in Clemson. They're seven, by the way, for RPI. And then you have Coastal at 13. Virginia's at nine. It's just amazing. You have Duke at 19, Campbell at 22, and East Carolina at 23.
I'll say Wake, Virginia. All three South Carolina schools. I said Wake. Wake, Virginia, all three South Carolina schools. And either East Carolina, Campbell, or Duke. One of those three.
Yeah. You know, guys, I was saying that it would Campbell, East Carolina would be the last one. I thought Duke was a, you know, like already a shoe-in, but their RPI has gone down. But I think now you're right, Kyle. I think you have to put those three. I agree with you 1,000%. I think those three are the ones that are fighting for the last North Carolina, if you will, the North Carolina, the state of North Carolina regional site. There's going to be one more, and that would be between those three.
Yeah, before we very quickly respond to what Johnny Robertson provided there, as far as the RPI a year ago, and that's something I just don't, I don't see it from an RPI standpoint. Now, could it happen, us getting back in the top eight talk? I guess it could, but I really don't see it. I think best case scenario, I think we would be probably in like the 12 to 14 range, something like that. So we shall see. And the main thing is for us to keep doing what we've been doing very well over the last – few weeks of the season, and that's controlling our own business, and I can go to Clearwater, hope to go 4-0, and if we do that, then we will have won 14 out of our last 15 games. So last year you went into the tournament having won 18 straight, and this year 14 out of 15, hopefully.
You know, we got to beat Wichita at least once, right? They're on our side of the bracket.
No.
So Houston and Wichita are on the same side.
Houston and Wichita on the other side is.
Oh wow!
It's the Pirates taking on number eight South Florida, and then number four UCF against fifth seeded Cincinnati.
If we don't make it to the championship game, shame on us.
Yep. Amen, brother. Amen, Kyle. Because I haven't had a chance to look at that. To know that as well. Wow, that's a huge break for us. But again, you got to go down there. And another thing, guys, as a coach, and Bubba, I know you can attest to this coaching, a tournament can work for you or against you. It's like a brand new, you know, season and crazy. Coaches don't like tournaments most because it seems like only bad things can happen. And so hopefully we can go down there and have the opposite.
I'll tell you what, if we were got eliminated from this tournament before the championship game, that means we lost two games to two of that crowd you just named. That would be bad.
Yeah, and we definitely will not host. No. I don't see a scenario.
No. That wouldn't even be worth discussing at that point. We'd be a two seed and like it.
Yeah, pack your bags to wherever. Yeah. And it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be talking more about that certainly the second half hour. I know, Bubba, you wanted to circle back and talk about the games this week. First off, Bubba and Kyle, I want to ask you this one question real quick that's on my mind the last couple of days. How much of a rival do you think Campbell has become, especially we're talking about baseball?
Dave, it's funny you said that. I was watching that game Wednesday night, and I told Jessica, I said, in baseball, Campbell has become what Wilmington used to be in baseball and basketball. Those Wilmington games do not have the same feeling they used to in baseball or basketball. The Campbell baseball series has the feeling the Wilmington series used to. I think our rivals now in baseball are UNC, NC State, and Wilmington. UNC, NC State, yeah, Campbell. I think Campbell's taking Wilmington's place.
Yeah, you know, Justin Hare, you know, that was another thing I want to mention is that not all Pirates, but there's some Pirates that don't understand, not that are watching or listening to the show, obviously, because we have the best viewers and listeners, but there's some Pirate fans that can't, like, realize that Campbell is now really, really good, and it's because they have a great coach. tip your hat to Justin Hare. And he has done a great job. He did it with the transfer portal, as he's told us over the last few years, having him on our show. And that's the way he did it. He's built this program up. What you do is you tip your hat. And you remember, Bubba and Kyle, help me out real quick. You remember, you know, we were talking about these close games. We've had games we've won and it fell our way. Remember Connor Norby in 19, where was it a squeeze play? Or we won by one run. We walked it off. And
well, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. You know, that was poor defense. You know, we got our own kids there Wednesday night or Tuesday, whenever that game was, Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Bubba, I'd like to get Bubba's thoughts and viewers. I don't know how many live we got right now. But on the where they feel the Campbell series has become a rivalry, Bubba, do you feel kind of like I do that it's almost taking the place of the Wilmington series as in terms of importance?
I see where you're coming from with that, and I would say yes, based on Campbell's on-field success, and you know, obviously Wilmington, they've been good in recent years, but Campbell's been better, and Campbell's put themselves this year with that win last night, even though they did drop 2 out of 3 to USC Upstate, they managed to win that final game of the series to win the regular season title, and we're talking about our four-peat, as you see on the screen. Campbell has won 5 straight regular season titles in the Big South, and they've become more and more competitive. They've always been able to swing the bats, it seems like, but they've really stockpiled some arms, even though you wouldn't have known it by the way the game unfolded.
Yeah, they're going to
Tuesday night prior to the prior to that game, the first 2 games of the season, though, they'd really shut our bats down. I think we'd scored, what, a combined 6 runs on 12 hits in those 2 games. So, and I've heard it from people coaching, just the arms that they had stockpiled. You know, I mean, he said every arm that they rolled out there was, you know, 92, 93 plus, you know, with the exception of 1 or 2. So, they've really done a great job of building that program. And, you know, Justin Hare is taking advantage of some of the things that he has going for him there in Buies Creek with Campbell and it being a private school and so forth. And won't dive too deeply into that. But, yeah, just proud of the way we, facing that 6-run deficit, going to the bottom of the 7th, battled back. And then Campbell, to its credit, after we scored 8 unanswered to take the 13-11 lead, took advantage of some miscues by us, even though we didn't have any errors. Coach Godwin really stressed that in the post game that we were not who we needed to be defensively in that game, even though we didn't have an official error. And that allowed Campbell, a team that's already so potent, when you give them extra outs, they did exactly what you would expect them to do.
Yeah, no doubt. And no errors, my ass. That was generous.
It was one of those things. Anybody that knows baseball, I mean, knows that, you know, it wasn't an official error, but there were plays that we typically make.
Yes.
And kind of shifting gears from that game, going down to South Florida, I'm sure the guys, after the way that unfolded Tuesday night, we're eager to hop on the plane down to Tampa and get that taste out of their mouth. And slow start, trailed 3-0, but then we did what we needed to do, scored 8 unanswered. And really, and this week, Josh Moreland, he swung a really hot bat, and the run he's currently on obviously is a little too early to say this, but going into the postseason, it reminds me kind of the way Bryson Wohl was trending a year ago.
Hey, guys, I wanted to ask you, I wonder who's going to be the PGXGloves.com player of the week. I just wonder who's going to do that.
Yeah, we'll go ahead.
Cam Clutch.
And Josh Moreland. He did have the 0-for-4 game in game 2 of the South Florida series, but the 3 games or 2 games prior to that, and then Saturday's game, were multi-hit games, 7 out of 17, 2 home runs. He had the big home run that tied the game against Campbell, and then a home run in game 3 against South Florida.
And RBIs.
Yeah, 3 doubles, 10 runs batted in, and that tying home run against Campbell was 457 feet over the scoreboard there in right center.
Good God, it was a shot.
And then, you know, he really helped put away the game on Saturday that the Pirates had to win in order to win the conference.
And hey, Kyle, you got your wish, by the way. I've been waiting to tell you that for the show, but you know how you're worried about in the past where we peaked too early, you know, have like, well, you got it where we had all kinds of drama. Friday night, I was so exhausted, and like, I stayed up to watch that game, and I just knew that Cincinnati was going to pull that out, and when they didn't, and I was thinking about you, about how you always wanted to be close, and we got us like a cardiac team where we won it on the last day.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I mean, I always wanted to be close, but I do enjoy exciting games. But
in other words, peaking. You were talking about in the past peaking too early, where we've won the conference where we didn't.
From that aspect, yeah. I hope we ain't played our best. But if we played our best baseball already, we're SOL.
Exactly.
If our best baseball still yet to be played, and we're going to peak during the postseason and live up to preseason expectations, then hell yeah, great. I hope we have not peaked yet. I hope that still yet to come. We're playing our best baseball, you know, all the way to Omaha.
One of the things I know Nate asked about the starting pitching, about our starting pitching earlier. I personally think the pitching is what's going to be the difference for us. And I think another thing that comes to mind, guys, that we haven't talked a little bit about on our show for Extra Innings here on the Sports Objective, is the fact that we've battled a lot of injuries. It seems like even though that we battled a lot of injuries, here we are, we won a regular season. You look at both catchers that are battling a back injury. Starling is not 100%, obviously. He's got a back injury. It's like the year of the back injury, it feels like. And I'm giving the team a compliment that they're battle-tested, because here they are. Yeah, you make a great point, Kyle, about hopefully we haven't played our best baseball. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, we haven't had a healthy player, like a healthy team. I mean, the entire team, the entire season. Because I believe McChrystal, I believe he was already hurt before the season started, right, guys?
If he won, he had to have been, because I remember them talking about first weekend of the year him being injured.
Yeah, so it's like, I'm not making excuses by any, I'm just tipping my hat to the team where we can make all the excuses of the world and they could have lost a whole bunch. Instead, here we are, we won the 4th straight regular season title. We've 5 straight years, Bubba and JR, help me. I think it's 5 straight years we had 40 plus wins. You have to go back. 2017 is the last time we didn't win 40 games. So when you think about that, you know, we're in the mix there. I'm really proud of this team, because I think one thing that I'm really happy about. Thank you. Alex is bringing me food. Appreciate you, buddy. The fact that we have a chance to host for the 5th straight time. I mean,
I don't want to creep you out, but Alex just walked through the back of your stadium there.
Yeah.
He just disappeared into the field. I mean, I don't know if it's something ghost or what.
Yeah, it's Field of Dreams, bro.
Okay, cool.
One of my favorite movies.
When we talk about Josh Moreland and all he did this week, our PGX Gloves Player of the Week, then our PGX Gloves Pitcher of the Week, kind of shifting gears back to the starting pitching topic. Obviously, on Friday night, Zach Root struggled with his command a bit and did not have the start we would have liked. But Danny Beal's been so clutch all year long. And he was, once again, picked up the win in relief, improving to 6-1 on the season. Also had a solid relief outing against the Camels, where he worked 2 innings, giving up just a solo bomb. But that was the only run he allowed all week, as he went 6 1/3 scoreless against the Bulls. And as I said, did not allow a run and just three hits, striking out six and walking one. So congratulations to Danny Beal, a veteran out of that Pirate pen, earning his sixth win of the season on being named our PGXGloves.com Pitcher of the Week.
And guys, you're talking about Root. Isn't it great to know that you have a talented kid like Root who doesn't have his best stuff, but then you have a guy like Danny Beal. You have so many weapons. I know one of the questions people, probably the man on the street questions, is what kind of rotation do you expect down in Clearwater for the tournament? That's something that comes to mind. I know that people have been talking about, but it's nice to know that, hey, I think it's great to know that in the past we've had good pitching, but not to this depth of where we've had guys like step up. I'm not talking about that, but we have a situation now where we've got five or six guys that could start a game off the top of my head. So that makes me feel good knowing that Bubba's kind of like your Braves back in the 90s, man. Those guys were lights out and one of the best starting rotations I've ever seen in Major League Baseball history. I wouldn't go that far with ours. I'm just talking about the quality of, especially.
I think our rotation is one of the greatest in Major League Baseball history.
No, I'm talking about the rotation that we have right now, especially our little league, relief pitching. God almighty.
We're going to go to the Williamsport this year, finally.
Yeah, exactly. No, the relief pitching is very strong, and I think that's the kicker right there. Is would you imagine on Tuesday that we do Johnny Holstaff? Is my guess.
I have no idea.
I don't necessarily. I mean, I think it may depend on just how the game's going. I mean, I don't think you're gonna Johnny Holstaff it if you have a competitive game going on. But the Pirates jump out to early lead and have a 6-7-8 run advantage or something like that in those mid to late innings, then yes, I think we'll be smart with how we spread out those innings.
Yeah, no doubt. I think it's going to depend on the game.
But on that note, as far as the pitching, we've talked about this in previous editions of Extra Innings. As far as Pirate pitchers and how many batters they're striking out, I went back and checked over the last four seasons. Obviously, the best run in the history of East Carolina baseball as far as hosting four consecutive regionals, striving for a fifth, and then hosting three straight super regional, playing in three straight super regionals and hosting the last of those three. The numbers you see there on the screen, as far as total strikeouts, the greatest strikeout totals by pitching staffs in program history, and then also strikeouts per nine innings. Last year, it was the most batters we had ever struck out. And then going back to that 21 season when we had Gavin Williams, who obviously produced so many high strikeout games, and that was the most strikeouts per nine innings with 10.5 in 2021. So it's no secret you hear it so much. It's about the arms, and obviously there's a lot of things that have to come together in order to have an Omaha caliber club. But the success that the Pirates have had over the last 4 or 5 years, and it's no secret that the arms, you've heard Cliff Godwin say it time and again, it seems like every preseason, well, this year's staff is deeper than last year's staff. And that's kind of been a trend over the last 3 or 4 years. And you were thinking this year, well, how could it be deeper than what we had? And then they proved themselves as they are. You see a little over 10 strikeouts per game, only behind that 21 team as far as strikeouts per nine innings. So something else, I know Cliff Godwin, obviously he just wants us to put up zeros. But at the same time, he doesn't want to dwell too much on this to the media. But when you're getting 35 to 40% of your outs every game via strikeout, then that's obviously less balls that the that are put in play, less chances for the defense. And with that being the case, it's no coincidence that the fielding percentages over the last four or five seasons have also been the highest in school history, with the exception of one.
That's staggering. And by the way, Richard Allsburg said that's KFC chicken leg worthy, having those 10 strikeouts a game. In fact, do you guys think that KFC will do the – I don't think that many people go to KFC anyway to get the chicken legs, but if you're KFC, do you say you have to have 15 strikeouts in a game in order to get a free chicken leg for next year?
I don't think people really have really – I wonder how many people truly – that's a good poll question. How many people truly take advantage of the chicken leg?
Exactly. And I've heard that some of the KFCs give them out more than they should, and others don't even know about it or whatever. But Richard's asking about AMAC outfield for the AMAC playing in the outfield for defense. Thoughts?
He made an unbelievable play when Nathan Chrisman came in at third base, and they shifted AMAC out to left field. What a diving stop that was! Coming in at an angle, extending to his left there. A heck of a play for someone who we knew he has that potential, and it seems like played there early in his career, but at the same time has been the everyday third baseman. And to just step out there and make a play like that speaks to his abilities, and it's nice to we've talked about two-way you, and obviously you're talking about a pitcher and a position player, but just that flexibility that we have, and being able to bring a guy in like that, or you know, shift a guy around the diamond and the way we can in AMAC or even other guys. So, you know, at times you may think, well, you know, because you've had a Lane Hoover who's making SportsCenter top 10 plays in center field.
Right.
But and then you shift him to the corner and bring in Riley Johnson late innings in center field. What it does is, you know, if someone is struggling, like has been the case a time or a few, it gives you some flexibility where you don't have to, where you can shift them into the DH role and then put someone else there in the outfield.
And guys, how about the freshmen stepping up too? I mean, you have Chrisman, Rasmussen. I mean, those guys are our future, and those guys are lights out in the infield. And to think that you can move these guys around. Plus, you got to tip your hat to the coaches, because this world that we live in the transfer portal, it'd be easy for these guys to say, hey, I'm not getting playing time, I'm out of here. But the coaches have done a nice job working with the roster, getting those younger guys in. And especially when you think about the postseason guys, those guys are not really freshmen anymore.
Yeah. Sorry, Dave. I stepped away there for a moment. I thought Kyle was going to chime in, but yeah.
Kyle's eating Jersey Mike. Sorry, I should have told you.
Supper time here on the Sports Objective,
but
if you're watching or listening live.
But yeah, the depth that we have, and guys seeing guys getting those innings. You know, a guy like a Jaden Winter who did struggle the last time out when the issue was decided against Memphis. He's proven at other times this year how capable he is. It's nice to have a guy of his potential, you know, and ability to have on the back end of the bullpen. It's nice to have someone that's, you know, what, 6'4", 6'5", and can come in throwing 95, 96 like that. But even though he hasn't seen a ton of innings this year, let's see, my guess would be 10 to 15 innings. Eight and a third for Jaden Winter.
Yeah, and I didn't want to forget to, and I did forget almost, Dixon Williams, he's been playing great, and he's another player that's been being used. And it's nice to see that when a local kid makes the team, obviously was recruited by Cliff Godwin and company, and the future is so bright. Obviously, we're not look ahead because we want to focus on the conference tournament, but we need a lot of guys that can step up. Where another thing is, if a guy's having a tough day, maybe they burn out, they're in a slump or whatever, you can bring these guys in and give them a day off, because this season is really grueling.
Yeah. Joey Barini and Jacob Starling have been so good in the middle. You know, it seems really like a distant memory. You think about the off season and the preseason, there were so many questions surrounding the program, not necessarily inside the program, because, you know, like Coach Godwin always says, you know, maybe eventually our fans will learn to trust Coach Godwin. But, it was who's going to take the shortstop position? You know, was it going to be Nathan Chrisman, who has gotten 8 to 10 starts? Was it going to be Connor Rasmussen, who's so talented? And we're talking about guys stepping up. Connor Rasmussen stepped up with a 2-hit game the other night against Campbell. But yes. Joey Barini,
Shaq,
his play probably hasn't been talked about enough. You know, Shaq, as you just said, Joey, what he's done at the plate, he's fourth on this team in batting average, .311. He's hit with some power, had those 4 home runs, drove in just over 30. And he's played very well in the field. Let's see, for the season, Joey Barini, I want to say, has something like 5 or 6 errors. So that's pretty elite, that shortstop. And you know, he may not have quite the range of some of the shortstops we've had in the past, but he's made some highlight reel plays at the same time. And if you'd have told us going into the season that Joey Barini was, I mean, we knew we'd seen it in pitch hit at bats and some spot starts, what he is capable of, and maybe this is just, you know, what he needed to play every day like this. But if you'd have told us going into the season he's going to hit .311 with 4 home runs, right, and make 5 errors through 56 games, you know, we'd have taken that in a heartbeat, whether it's from Joey Barini or whoever.
If you go around the diamond, I'm sorry, Bubba.
And then Jacob Starling has been so good. That's just what I was saying, that we have guys like Connor Rasmussen that are so talented that were in the conversation preseason, but because of Barini and Starling being so good, we've seen sparingly.
No doubt. And you look at it, it's great. The whole, if you look around the diamond, that was the issue. Everybody said, who's going to be shortstop? Who's going to be shortstop? And Barini has done great. A lot of great guys. How about Carter Cunningham out in right field? Carter Cunningham has had a tremendous season, really stepped up, really proud of him. He's another guy that comes to mind.
Yeah, Carter Cunningham is someone who had entered the transfer portal, withdrew his name, and you know, way back when he withdrew his name, even before he's performed like he has this year, I was very excited that he withdrew from the portal. And has that ever paid off for the Pirates? .319, second on the team in average, 6 home runs, and driven in close to 30, and really made some nice plays in the outfield as well, in the corner outfield spot primarily, largely in right field. So, yeah, stellar play from Carter Cunningham. And then Johnny Robertson, meant to get to his comment a moment ago as far as Nathan Chrisman, saying that Chrisman, who I mentioned, you know, has got a few starts this year. I think, let's see, he started 6 ball games, played in 37, though, is often a late-inning defensive replacement, also a pinch runner.
Yeah.
And that's obviously speaking to his ability on the base pass that Johnny Robertson referenced.
Yeah, and you look at it, like I said, Cliff Godwin and company, Palumbo, all those guys have done a nice job of managing this team to the highest level, because there's so many talented guys. Like you said, Bubba, I mean, when you think about all the guys that are starting, there's guys that can easily start maybe somewhere else, but they're younger, being freshmen. and they're going to get their shot. And when they do, man, it's going to be great when those guys are starters. We're not going to rush it though, for sure. Kyle, what about you? What are your thoughts on the starting pitching? What are your thoughts going into the tournament on Tuesday?
My thoughts are, I was eating a turkey, so, I think we got, we got a lot of pitching depth, not just starting pitching, but the bullpen's deep. We play a lot of guys, so that's one thing that, whether it's in a conference tournament or a regional, if we do find ourselves in a loser's bracket, we have enough arms where we can come out of that. You hope you don't find yourself in that situation, but you easily could. And we have in the past, and have came out of it and won. And having that many arms, I really don't know how much it helps you in a super if we end up that far. But in a conference tournament, in a regional, if you end up in a loser's bracket, having that many arms will really help you.
No question. It would help you also, Bubba, if you go to Omaha, when you're having a lot of games in that short period of time over, is that 10 days off the top of my head? Something like that, but
yeah, very spread out. Obviously, once you get to Omaha, because of TV,
right?
So, but as far as the starting pitching, we do need Josh Groves to get back to where he was, a few weeks ago. His last couple outings haven't been as good. The previous against Memphis, I think he walked 4, maybe 5 guys. And then, he'd shown some progress in that area. And then he didn't really, I think he only walked 1, but he only went 2 1/3 in game 2 against South Florida. And he was really leaving some pitches up about belt high or slightly above the belt, and the Bulls were making him pay for it. So we need Groves to pitch the way he's capable of pitching. And the thing is, and Treya Savage, when he was pitching in game 3 on Saturday, I think he ended up going 4 1/3, 4 2/3. He had a good outing, but there I want to say he threw at least 25 or 30 pitches in the first inning, and kind of settled in after that. He wasn't wild, but he was just a fraction off. He was just missing his spot. And
the number of walks, right, Bubba?
Yeah, it wasn't like he was nowhere near, he was just slightly off the plate, slightly up, slightly down, but some borderline pitches perhaps not going his way, but it was, hats off to him for working through that. And like Coach Godwin said post game, good start from Trey and a better relief performance from Garrett Saylor. It's great to see the way Garrett's pitching on the whole this year, to have a fifth year guy like him and so experienced, and he's seen success in a variety of roles, whether it's short relief, long relief, or now he's had more and more better starts this year. Mm-hmm. So, you really like those experienced pieces like a Saylor or Spivey, or even now a Tony Ginn that can step up. When one of them maybe not pitching well. Obviously, we'd already talked about Danny Beal. I think one of the keys going into the postseason, the conference tournament, and then obviously regional play and beyond, would be Eric Ritchie. We don't have an abundance of left-handers. On this team, and I think we need Eric Ritchie to step up. Obviously, Merritt Beaker is no longer part of the program. Opted to enter the transfer portal a few weeks back, and so Eric Ritchie is someone to really keep an eye on how he performs.
Dave, please make sure you isolate that clip of Bubba saying left-handy.
All right. Left-hander, I tell you what, all in all, though, you're talking about Ritchie. And here's another thing that Cliff does very, very well when Austin Knight together is, I know some people, it drives them crazy, but situational baseball when it comes to pitching, and they bring in a guy for this guy and the matchups. But that's what you're going to have to do when it comes to this time of year. I mean, so these guys are used to it. It's more of a major league, I guess, approach. But I like
that. I'll tell you what, Dave, to speak on what you're talking about, look at Friday night with one out to go, down up by one run. You know, we switched pitchers. And I was like, why are you bringing in Hunter here? I mean, why are you doing this? And then, but, hey, we got the third out, and that was it.
Yeah. Sometimes the matchups, and I mean, I know everything can backfire on you, but at the same time, I felt like that's what it's going to take to, and last year, guys, we did the thing where we didn't really have, but what was it, two starters last year? And we had a lot of times where TBD, to be determined, was the one of the starters for the weekend rotation.
Yeah, no doubt. And it gave us, like I said, it gives us a lot of depth this year. And I think it matters not very much for this team who the starter is because you're going to go to your bullpen early. Cliff doesn't let pitchers sit out there and struggle long because he didn't have to. And right. Maybe in tournament situations, you do a little bit longer. But, like I say, you want your starters to do well, but if they don't, they're going to get out of there in a hurry. We ain't going to unless somebody has like an 8-run first, we're not going to get down by no more than probably 3 runs before we're going to probably pull that pitcher.
Right, because we know that we can come back from that deficit. You don't want to give up the deficit, but we've proven time and time again this season that you get down 3-0, 3-0, you know, where other times you'd be a little nervous because you don't have the bats. But that's going to be key to me. Or do you guys have a player in mind that – is it a Cam Clunch? Is it a guy that you say, hey, that guy is going to be the difference maker this weekend?
During the conference tournament, I mean, you never know who's going to step up. You mentioned Cam Clutch. I always like Cam coming off the bench.
Yep.
Great player. Could be starting for a lot of teams around the country.
Like him a lot.
Who it's going to be, who knows? I won't. I'll say just because I've been waiting for him to really have a breakout game. Like, he hadn't been the same really since his injury.
I know you're going to say.
I hadn't played bad, but I'm going to say JCC has a big conference tournament.
Awesome. And hey, Johnny Gardner and I were thinking alike in that he says that he thinks Tony Ginn will have a huge role in the conference tournament. I was talking about it, and he typed it up at the same time. And that's why we are huge fans of Johnny Gardner there.
Speak for yourself, Dave.
Wyatt's Lunsford Sheikman. He's another one, a pitcher. What about you, Bubba? You think Lunsford Sheikman? He's one that I really like a lot. Do you think he'll have a big tournament?
Yeah, obviously I didn't mean to. I wasn't naming everyone, but Wyatt Lunsford Sheikman has been, you know, as big or as better than anyone in the bullpen this year. I mean,
yeah. He's
43 1/3, and opponents are hitting just .206 against him. He's tied for the team high with Danny Beal with 25 appearances, and
has the ability to go for multiple innings. I think you could start him.
Yeah, he's a guy that can go give you 4 or 5 innings, don't you think, guys? In long relief.
Yes, definitely.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, Danny Beal, he typically he can be a short relief guy, or he gave you 6 1/3 in that game on Thursday night. But that's a great example. We have so many options. The biggest thing, I mentioned Eric Ritchie, and then obviously Zach Root. Those two left-handed arms, how they pitch, that could be, really critical, depending on who we face in the postseason and the number of quality left-handed bats. And it may not be a huge role because obviously with Root, it's largely been a midweek role. He's also seen some relief outings. What now? 17 appearances, 10 starts on the season, and then you have Richie. Let's see. 19 appearances, obviously all in relief. Not as effective as Root. Root's biggest bugaboo has been his command. Opponents are hitting just around .240 against him, but it's just been that command at times that has caused him not to go into games as deep as you would like when he started, or have to be pulled sooner in a relief role. But Zach Root, we've certainly seen his potential and why the future for him is so bright.
Yeah, Mark Calloway, thanks, Mark, for joining us. He says, we got a pitching staff that can get to Omaha. Man, is deep.
And, yeah.
But where I was going with that as far as Root and Richie, especially Root, you know, just saying, okay, you may just need 1, 2, 3 outs from him as opposed to 3, 4 innings like you've been getting from him in a lot of his appearances in the regular season.
No doubt. And he's a great kid. He's one that I've been curious to see how he'll translate like after this year. He's a guy that I feel like will be a starter. Who knows? We'll see how it works out. But Zach Root is a really good pitcher, and I think he's one, Kyle, that we haven't seen his best stuff yet. When you're talking about that for the whole team, he's a kid that can come in and really do some damage as far as, thankfully, he plays for us and not against us. I do want to ask you guys, is there going to be a surprise team? There's always like a surprise team in a tournament. Hopefully that would not be South Florida.
I'm going to say no, because, and here's why, Dave. If there is, it would likely come from our side, with Wichita and Houston both being on the other side. You figure one of those two are going to make the championship game. So if it comes from, I'm going to say no, because if I say yes, then it'll mean that we got beat. So I'll say it'll be the Pirates against either Wichita or Houston in the championship. And I think honestly, if anybody besides us wins the tournament, it'll be a little bit of a surprise. So Wichita and Houston are both very capable.
I tell you the team that to look out for, and obviously I'm not an odds maker, but the team to watch out for me is Cincinnati. Let's see how they hopefully they're the ones.
That, you know, we have beaten them 6 times this year, and they're not horrible. So that is a, if you're looking for a team that's due to get the Pirates, that might be a team that could pull off an upset against us. So that's a good call.
That's the one that I'm worried about the most. But, hey, anything's possible, and I believe in our Pirates. I believe in our coaching staff. There's a reason why we talked about earlier, the fifth straight year that we've had 40-plus wins. And, guys, we have 41 wins. I mean, how many – help me out, Bubba, off the top of my head. How many wins can we potentially have this season? 40? We would be 45-16.
Obviously, if we run through the tournament undefeated, you'd be 45-15. And then if you win a regional without a loss, you would have 48.
Right.
And then you would obviously have to get to 50 to get to Omaha. So,
wow.
So this team, depending on how the next couple weeks go, could end up being hopefully the winningest team in East Carolina history, which was 51 back in 2004.
Yeah, Randy Mazy area.
Yeah. 51-13.
So, guys, I know that we're running out of time. We'll put it out there to the viewers, listeners as well. Do we host? Do we not host? And, Kyle, give your scenario real quick, and let's see. We're talking about the one seed hosting or the two seed.
Oh, yeah, would you rather. In this scenario, the old would you rather. And logic says, of course, you want to host. But just from a getting to Omaha standpoint, would you rather go to Wake – in either situation, you know you're going to have to play Wake Forest. Would you rather host as a 16, knowing if we win it, you're going to have to play Wake and the Supers on the road? Or would you rather go to Wake in the regionals as a 2 seed with, you know, them having to play multiple teams, and then you're going to probably maybe Indiana State is a 16, so you'd be playing at Indiana State, and you already beat Wake Forest, or maybe somebody upsets Indiana State, and you – saying if they're a 16, and you – And then you get to host as a 2. So knowing you're going to have to play Wake Forest either way, would you rather host and play Wake Forest in the Supers, or would you rather play Wake Forest in the regionals and hopefully get an easier super regional opponent with the 16 seed?
I'm going to go with, I know where you're going. But I'm going to go with, I think we're going to host. So I'm going to go host and pray that somebody knocks Wake Forest off. If they don't, that would be, as you would say, I will steal your thunder, Kyle. That'll be a great story how we got to Omaha. We knocked off the number one
seed. And maybe we don't, and maybe we host and we're not the 16 seed. Maybe we're 14 right. or 15 or 13. Who knows?
Right. No doubt.
And by the way, when Bubba, you'd probably know this or not. Maybe Johnny or somebody watching. Is it 8 o'clock next Sunday when the host lights come out?
It's on Monday. No, it will be Monday.
That's when the brackets revealed. The host sites will be next Sunday night.
Yeah, about 8 o'clock typically, if I remember correctly.
That's right. That's right. Next Sunday night.
And then the brackets are revealed after that.
Normally, obviously, they'd have them on the ESPN bottom line, but it's the Twitter reveal.
Yeah, and then you find out, you know, who's going to be in your regional and where you're seated on Monday during the election show. But so we'll know Sunday night if we're going to host or not. We'll know this week whether we should be worried about it, whether we're going to host or not. If we take care of the conference tournament, then we'll have reason to be optimistic for Sunday night.
But kind of going back to our conversation in the first 10 or 15 minutes of the show, as far as your reputation, you know, doing everything you can to advance your cause and your reputation paying off for you. And that's certainly the case for the Pirates. I mean, you looked at it last year.
Yeah.
Very few thought we would be a top eight. And then we ended up getting that top eight when in previous
years. Not even being the regional.
When we were deserving, we had not. And I know he's not on the committee yet, but John Gilbert will be going on to the committee. And for what it's worth, Cliff Godwin is on a regional committee or a regional subcommittee, like as far as the Southeast. And it's a group of a handful of conferences talking about the teams that are having great years, deserving of hosting, so on and so forth. So Cliff's presence on that is something to keep in mind as well. So I think if the Pirates go to Clearwater and take care of business the way I anticipate they will, then I think we'll be hosting come next weekend.
I hope you're right.
Or the following weekend, I should say. But go ahead.
Justin Butt says, mark my word, we'll make Omaha on the road. So he thinks we're not going to host then.
Well, you make a mile. We on the road as a super.
Yeah.
Now, Johnny. Oh, by the way, before I know we got to get out of here, but Johnny brought up a Long Beach State. I know you have that clip of the players.
Yeah, and Long Beach State obviously played in the Keith LeClaire Classic early in the season. Were I guess what 2-1 or 3-2 winners over the Pirates.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you know, the Dirtbags. Came away very impressed with Clark LeClaire Stadium in the jungle. And we have a clip of that, something they had on their baseball Twitter account earlier this afternoon.
Great place to play this year was definitely East Carolina.
Definitely the jungle, ECU.
My favorite place to play was ECU. My favorite place to play was Hawaii.
Favorite place to play this year was East Carolina.
Favorite place to play is the Juice Jungle, ECU.
Yeah. Place I played this year was Angel Stadium.
Probably Hawaii.
UC Riverside.
ECU. My favorite place to play was ECU.
My favorite place to play this year was at Irvine.
Probably East Carolina.
Reno, Nevada, the Ramada Inn.
Favorite place to play this year is probably ECU. Shout out to Jungle. There it is.
I'm going to say ECU. I did get to pitch against Georgia.
All right, great stuff there. Appreciate the love there on Long Beach.
Yeah, that says a lot when you get Long Beach State like that, and they come all the way across the country, and they talk about playing. You know, you heard several Hawaiis. What a memorable trip! But you heard more ECUs. So you had one guy randomly named friggin' Riverside, but you had a lot of Hawaiis, but more ECUs than anything. And I think that says a lot about the atmosphere that's created out in the jungle. The guys out there are very hostile yet hospitable. There we go. Hostile. That's the jungle. That's my new slogan for the jungle. The jungle. We are hostile and hospitable. So I think that's a good way to look at those guys out there in left field and the jungle in general. And And I think glad that's the takeaway. You know, you would think Cliff might want to start working that transfer portal a little more. You that reputation goes around college baseball, even for guys who hadn't been here. They'll hear about that playing in the jungle. So you wonder, you know, Cliff hasn't really embraced the transfer portal yet. I got a feeling if he would embrace it, we might do really well in the transfer portal.
And by the way, Bubba, you see that Justin Blutz has a clarification on what he said?
Yeah, he said, "Let me be clear on my statement. We'll go to Omaha when we least expect it." And kind of like that 2016 season.
Yep.
In his opinion, and honestly think he'll be on the road for a super regional at the end of the day, treat one game at a time and just win.
Yeah,
I always hear people say when we least expect it, but at this point we expect it every year. So if we're in the NCAA tournament, the goal is Omaha, and anything else is a disappointment. So I do agree with that. I will be forthcoming and say that compared to last year, I don't think this team, you know, I haven't seen yet this team can go to Omaha. And some people might say that's discouraging, or F you, Kyle, or, you know, some of the players are watching. I hope that's what they're saying, because prove me wrong.
Going back to the video with the Long Beach State team, though, you know, some of those responses were not surprising. In addition to Clark LeClair in the jungle, Hawaii, tough to argue with that. And then also Angel Stadium, they had the opportunity to play there. Tough to argue with that for obvious reasons. But at the same time, the response, the Ramada Inn in Reno, I thought that was funny. I actually didn't even catch that the first time.
Yeah.
And then I think that response of UC Riverside and maybe one other similar, it may have been UC Irvine. Obviously, UC Irvine's been to Omaha, but I think at least one of those, perhaps Riverside, and just based on the facial expressions, was kind of being mentioned as a joke. But awesome stuff there with the Long Beach State players.
Yeah, despite being a bunch of dirtbags, they're all right guys.
they were really cool. In fact,
those West Coast teams. The other one that comes to mind that really loved the jungle was it Pepperdine years ago that loved the jungle so much?
Yeah, Pepperdine sent Brian Dilday a shirt, perhaps a hat, but at least like a dry fit shirt.
Nice. So that was,
as well as some of the other jungle guys. Jared Plummer and some of the others tuned in, Todd Vivrett, Dave Batts, you know, let us know, did somebody besides Pepperdine, you know, send gear? I know a lot of teams have made comments on social media, whether it's non-conference or conference, like Tommy O'Connor this year appreciated the sausage dog he got from the jungle and that crew. But a lot have also, in addition to commenting on social media, have signed the megaphone. That would be an interesting topic just to see how many opposing players have signed Brian Dilday's megaphone.
You check how many have signed his sausage dog.
Oh, man.
I knew that's where that was headed.
Do you guys have any final thoughts before we get out of here? I know that we're running over tonight, but appreciate the support of all the listeners and viewers. You guys are awesome. And what's your final thoughts before we get out of here?
Proud of the team for winning the conference yet another year. It almost gets to the point where, you know, I'll even admit it, where you take it for granted and you go, oh, well, another conference championship. But boy, oh boy, think about that in baseball. Excuse me. Think about that in football or basketball, how excited we would be today just have one. In recent memory. So congratulations to the boys for winning another conference championship. Let's see if we can go win the conference tournament and be sitting here this time next week on Pins and Needles wondering if we're going to host.
And another nugget for our viewers and listeners, as Johnny Gardner says, Jason Dietrich, a former Pirate pitching coach, now head coach at Fullerton, will bring his Titans to the Keith LeClair Classic in 2024.
There you go. Another West Coast team. Fools has been here before, I believe. I remember playing out there. And, of course.
Yes. We went out there. We got swept in 06. And then they came here. Or actually, we got swept out there. And I guess I want to say it was 05. And they We swept them in 06. Or I may have my years off there. I think it's 06, 07. But we went out there and got held to one run, and then we returned the favor the following season. And it was 07 because it was the year we ended up playing in the Chapel Hill Regional and gave the Tar Heels all they wanted, and then ended up losing there in the ninth inning.
Remember that very well. Very disappointing, especially who we're playing and thought we were going to win that regional. But anyway, Justin thought Butt says one final thought: just win, baby. All we need to do is win. That's right. Just like that's what you have to do, coach speak. But it really does come down to that.
You're trying to think of who sung that song, "All We Do Is Win," weren't you?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
No, I know that's your favorite song, so I didn't want to, like...
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's so original. So original. So
I didn't want to get you all excited. Who sings it?
Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah.
And Ludacris.
You're very good, Kyle. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it's complete garbage, but... by the way, all of Pirate Nation can thank me for Pirate Town, and if you hate it, you can also thank me for Pirate Town. I wish we would just go straight into Pirate Town and take All We Do Is Win and wipe your ass with it. I'm so sick of that song. It's so generic. It's so overplayed. But Pirate Town is a direct correlation to me, and I'm glad I got some people to listen to me for one. You know what it was? I didn't get anybody to listen to me except the one person at ECU that will listen to me, and then he just went ahead and suggested it and didn't put my name with it and say, oh, yeah, great idea. But if it would have came from Kyle from LaGrange, we still wouldn't be here in Pirate Town over the PA system.
Oh, well, there it goes. That's going to be taken off the playlist now.
Yeah, you could be right. You could be right.
I thought about you after the Memphis sweep. I was on the field with Johnny Robertson, and I heard at least two or three people, maybe someone with them, asked them if they were ready to go, and they said that they were hanging around until they played Pirate Town.
It's a good song.
And you're welcome. And you're like Dave just said, now somebody's going to probably hear in the athletic department that the idea all came from me, and I suggested it to the right person who then took it to the person who could make it happen and didn't put my name with it, and boom, 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 there it is. But now that it's out there for everyone to know that it was my idea. And by the way, why in the hell did it have to be my – that was so damn obvious. The fact that it took me suggesting it to somebody to suggest it, it's just ridiculous.
I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did. I'd be a very, very, very rich man. Bubba, do you have anything before we go, bro?
Nope. Go to Clearwater. Take care of business.
Absolutely. Looking forward to taking a trip. I'll leave on early Thursday morning, and I'll be down there Thursday through coming back on Monday morning. So I guess I'll be the only one down there, because nobody else I've talked to is going, so I'll have to ask some more members of the media.
I'd like to go. It would be fun. No other member of the media from down east that you've asked are going.
I think Patrick Mason is. I haven't texted him. I hadn't talked to him yet. I'll talk to him from the Daily Reflector. I think he's going. So I'll have, and of course, our good buddy, former play-by-play voice.
Igloo's not going.
He's not going. So. Okay. But I think he's preparing himself for the regional, wherever that may be. So he's not going, and not a lot of people are going, but I'll be there. So I might be the one East Carolina guy in the press box. We'll see.
Well, there you go, Dave. Maybe you can give live coverage to some of our other affiliates, 94.3 Pirate Radio. You know, maybe you can report live for WITN, WNCT. We're going to put it out there. If you need Dave Richmond to report live for you, He is sports journalist for hire.
There you go. I'll be the freelancer, right? But anyway, we're going to have a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. I've always wanted to go, making it happen this year. And hopefully I'm not the jinx on the Pirates. It'll be a great time.
And while you're in Clearwater, please remember to put sunscreen on your head.
Okay, I will. And I'm going to hang out with Hulk Hogan.
He knows about putting sunscreen on his head and has since the mid-80s.
Yes, he does. And Johnny Gardner's right. Brian Bailey, typically, I'll be able to hang out with Brian Bailey. So that'll be a lot of fun. BB is great. So we'll see about that. But anyway,
By the way, it's funny, that restaurant down there, what's it called in Clearwater?
Oh, Frenchie's.
Yeah, they just made the national news. If you hadn't heard about it, I'm not going to bring it up here on the podcast, but just Google it, folks. Google it.
Oh, well, I haven't heard about that. All right. Last point on going there, but maybe not now. I don't
know. I'd still go, but just it's funny that it's not funny. Well, you just Google the story. It's not funny at all, but anyway.
All right. And one final thing, here in a little bit at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, happy if you're a NASCAR fan, that North Wilkesboro, that they're going to finally have a race there. They had the trucks yesterday, but they have the All-Star race starting at 8 o'clock, so looking for that tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. First time since 1996. How about that? So
be the first time in about 3 or 4 years that I've even turned on a race is watching on FS1 tonight. So looking forward to it. I would have liked to have been there, just an old school NASCAR fan.
Yeah, those tickets went by. Dude, those tickets went faster than the tickets.
Is Junior running in that? I keep seeing a Sundrop at Ellen Hart Jr. car. Is he making a one-off appearance in that? Or
I haven't seen that. He might. I have not.
There's some Sundrop. He's on cans. They've got some cans and bottles with him and a car on it. So I don't know. We need Mike Ray. Where's Mike Ray?
Yeah, he's watching. He's watching the preliminary stuff right now on FS1. But guys, we'll get out of here. Thanks to everybody. Thank you, Kyle, very much. Appreciate you, Bubba. Thanks for that. Appreciate everybody doing that. I want to thank PGXGloves.com. Before we get out of here, appreciate them and all they do for us. They've got my kids have 2 pairs each for baseball and softball this year, and they give a great product, and it's a competitive price too. When you look at it, the national brands, and they have really cool stuff that stick out, and I mean in a good way, just go to pgxgloves.com.
I think what you mean, stick out's bad. I think what you mean, stand out.
Stand out. There you go. Stand out.
Funny how that slight word can change the meaning so much.
It's good stuff. It's quality stuff at a great price. pgxgloves.com. Go there if you're a golfer. They've got some great golf stuff and great swag. And how could I forget, Kyle? That's your baby, but you put 25% in that promo code, put ECU in there, and you'll get 25% off.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you? I mean, why wouldn't you want to save 25%? And if you can't remember that promo code and you watch this show, you might want to go get a scan.
yes, indeed. All right, we'll get out of here. Congratulations again to the Pirates, a 4-time regular season champions, 4-peat for them, and good luck to them. And Clearwater, and of course, we'll have all those results, plus breaking news at once. If anything goes on, we'll let you know. It's always right here. Check our social media. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's been blowing up here recently, thanks to Bubba, with all the shorts or TSO shorts he's got going on. All right, we'll get out of here. You've been watching Extra Innings, and it's right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody, and as always, go Pirates!
Hey, Pirate Nation, this is former East Carolina pitcher Davey Penny of the Keith LeClair era, class of 2003. Keep it tuned to the Sports Objective as you follow our Diamond Bucks on the road to Omaha, because y'all know, we're going.
That concludes this week's edition of Extra Innings, presented by Next Level Training Center on the Sports Objective. Join us next Sunday night as we will once again talk East Carolina Pirate baseball. Be sure to follow the show on social media at the Sports OBJ on Twitter, at the Sports Objective on Instagram. Like and follow our Facebook page and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Listen to the show pretty much anywhere podcasts are found. As always, we appreciate you tuning into the show. Go Pirates!